Hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A Victoria suburb in Canada yields an 850 BCE archaeological site. An English sailor is to recreate the Phoenicians' epic African voyage. Early Americans may have arrived 2,000 years earlier than previously thought. And cave sculptures are put on display for the first time in 15,000 years. Macedonia's oldest human remains have been unearthed, and an early settlement site is uncovered in Orkney. A new tomb for the Altai princess is to be built in Siberia, and unique cremation graves are discovered in Moravia in the Czech Republic. And of course, Past Horizons internet magazine is launched, and finally, Bronze Age skeleton has been unearthed in Kent. Both archaeologists and Songhees Nation members have been working together at a 2,850-year-old site, one of the oldest to be found on Vancouver Island in Canada. The group have been meticulously sifting through the remains of a large subterranean house with a clay oven and fire pit, unearthed prior to a housing development. The site was exposed in November when a trench for a water line was mistakenly dug in a space considered out of bounds for development. Earlier sample excavations indicated the area was archaeologically sensitive. In 850 BCE, however, coastal groups who relied upon fishing lived in cedarwood houses close to the water, not in subterranean structures, which are typically found in British Columbia's interior. Archaeologists are speculating about the exact purpose of the site. More than 600 artifacts, including arrowheads, spear points, small blades and wedges, some made of obsidian, have been unearthed on the site. I do like it. How many times have we heard the fact that development goes ahead accidentally in areas where it's not supposed to? Anyway. On the ancient Syrian island of Arwad, which was settled by the Phoenicians about 2000 BCE, men are working hard, hammering wooden pegs into the hull of a ship. But this vessel will not be taking fishermen on their daily trip along the coast. It's destined for a greater adventure, one that could solve a mystery which has baffled archaeologists for centuries. The adventure starts in Dorset, however, where an Englishman has taken up upon himself to try and prove that the Phoenicians circumnavigated Africa thousands of years before any Europeans did. Philip Beale has commissioned the building of a replica Phoenician ship that he plans to sail around the continent with a crew of 20. The 10-month expedition sets off in August and will follow the route of seafaring Phoenician merchants that they were said to have taken around 2,500 years ago. Mr. Beale admitted there's a 30% chance that they won't actually be able to complete it at all. Mr. Beale had the idea for the unusual quest when he read the works of Herodotus, who wrote about the Phoenician voyage itself. According to the Greek historian, their journey began on the shores of the Red Sea, when the Egyptian king Necho asked a group of Phoenician seamen to attempt the first near-circumnavigation of the continent in 600 BC. Well, all I can say is good luck, and don't forget to carry a Kalashnikov when you're going past Yemen and Somalia. It's that time of the week again, the early colonization of America spot. Oh yes, it's back again. A new study by anthropologists suggests the first Americans to come to the country came 1,000 to 2,000 years earlier than the 13,500 years ago previously thought. The team, led by Ted Goble, an anthropology professor at Texas A&M, said that their theory indicates that the Americas was as late as 15,000 years ago. He said that their hypothesis, which suggests that the migration from Alaska started about 15,000 years ago, could shift historic timelines. To reach their conclusion, the researchers analysed both archaeological and genetic evidence from several dozen sites throughout the Americas and Eastern Asia. The team focused primarily on molecular, genetic, archaeological and human skeletal evidence to create a working model that explains the dispersal of modern humans across the New World. They showed that the first Americans came from a single Siberian population and ventured across the Bering Land Bridge connecting Asia and North America about 22,000 years ago. The group, however, got stuck in Alaska because of glacial ice, so humans probably didn't migrate down into the rest of the Americas until after 16,500 years ago, when an ice-free corridor in Canada opened up. Previous theories stated that the first migrants spread from Beringia to Terra do Fuego over the few centuries about this period. However, Goebel says scientists have recognized that the peopling of America was a much more complicated process. The team's findings are outlined in a review article in Science magazine titled "The Late Pleistocene Dispersal of Modern Humans in the Americas." Archaeologists always want for a snappy title. A museum is to open in western France, which will span 1.5 millennia of human image-making, from stone chisels to computers. The star of the show at Anglais sur l'Anglin will be a 60-foot-long frieze of bison, horses, cats, goats and erotic female figures, carved into the limestone of western France 15,000 years ago. The caverns containing the frieze were discovered in 1950, but have never been opened to the public. The Roque aux Sorcières caves are the only site of their kind in Europe, a two-dimensional carved equivalent of the celebrated cave paintings at Lascaux in Dordogne, 120 miles further south, which were also created 1,000 years earlier. The public will be able to visit the £2.1 million visitor centre, where the original sculptures and the contours of the cavern sides have been precisely recreated to full size by using digital laser copying techniques. A half-hour Sonnet Lumière display will be projected onto the frieze, suggesting how the carvings may have been created and how they were discovered 58 years ago. Oscar Fuentes, the director of the centre, says the intention is to go beyond the full-size replica, such as Lascaux II. He says that he wanted to make the frieze into a place of scientific discovery in which the visitors reach their own conclusions and understand that their interpretation is as good as anyone else. Macedonian archaeologists unearthed the skeleton of a human dating from 7000 BCE, suspected of being the oldest Neolithic inhabitant on the Balkans. The skeleton has been uncovered at the archaeological site of Gernika at the steppes near nearby village of Krupisti. The skeleton has been found in a position that is typical for the Neolithic burials of that time. The body was laid with its left side down in a contracted position, with the knees reaching up to the head level and the arms clenched. Gernika, the oldest Neolithic settlement in Macedonia, was discovered accidentally last year by a team of archaeologists who are exploring the sites along the Sletovica's hydro system pipeline. There's a new contender for Orkney's earliest settlement following a two-week investigation in Stronsay in Scotland. Naomi Woodward, who discovered two tiny flint arrowheads in Stronsay last year, returned to the island at the beginning of March. There were five other archaeologists, and with them she discovered a huge quantity of flint, together with what could be the county's only example of an in-situ Mesolithic settlement. The Mesolithic settlement from around 9000 to 4000 BCE is renowned for the scarcity of evidence. The people of the period were nomadic hunter-gatherers, living in small groups and moving around according to the season and availability of food supplies. Now, because of their itinerant lifestyle, they left very little trace for the modern archaeologist. The Stronsay flint cache looks like representing a temporary camp, erected possibly during a hunting expedition on a landmass that would eventually become Stronsay. In foul weather conditions, a number of 1 metre square test pits were opened over a 60 metre area. The results left the excavators in no doubt that there had been early activity there. Although dating evidence is needed to confirm it, the site is possibly older than the one found at Long Howe last year, as this looks like early Mesolithic, dating from between 9000 to 7000 BCE. But they'll have to wait until dates are confirmed, and it's hoped that these dates will come from deposits retrieved from a number of post holes found on the site. The settlement, we have to say, was no village in the sense of Scarra Brae or barnhouse. Instead, it was probably just a temporary camp used by a wandering group of hunter-gatherers. I know myself just how tricky it is to find these things, and it really is pure chance. And, of course, a bit of expertise. A tomb to house the remains of a woman found after being preserved in ice for 2,500 years will be built in Siberia's Altai Republic. The well-preserved remains of the woman, dubbed the Altai Princess, were discovered in the region by a team led by a Novosibirsk archaeologist in 1993, near the Mongolian border, and have been studied at the Archaeology and Ethnography Institute. Residents of Altai, where shamanism is still widespread, had repeatedly called for the body's return to its homeland and blamed the removal for earth tremors and other natural disasters in the area. However, Novosibirsk scientists have been reluctant to return the body, saying local museums did not have the necessary facilities to preserve it. A decision has been taken to build a sloping building for the mummy resembling a burial mound. The body will now be housed in a state-of-the-art glass temperature-controlled case. Construction work should be finished by the end of the year. Scientists have no information on the actual history of the Altai Princess, but DNA tests and facial reconstruction have suggested that she was ethnically European. Small comment here, instead of building it in Novosibirsk, they could of course have built a brand new museum right next to where the princess was discovered. Anyway, just my comment. Czech archaeologists have uncovered unique cremation graves at Pradeshtov, Moravia in the Czech Republic that date back to the Neolithic period of the linear pottery culture. The graves were uncovered during construction of a new industrial zone on the eastern edge of the town. This is the first time cremation burial sites of the linear pottery culture have been uncovered. Below it, there are graves of people of the same culture, but they are actual skeletal remains. This change in burial method indicates a change, perhaps, in the ideology or religion of the people. The cremation of the dead is tied with people's belief in the existence of the soul, and up to now experts have supposed that this belief appeared far later. About 100 graves have been uncovered in Prostedjov. The archaeologists believe that it's about one-tenth of the entire size of the burial site. They've also uncovered remnants of a settlement, including shelters and working buildings. And now, although it's a bit strange to do it, it's a news report about ourselves. A new form of magazine designed to cater for the heritage conservation and archaeological volunteer market has been launched. Issue 1 of Past Horizons looks at conservation work that you can get involved in with the Heritage Conservation Network, and the main article looks at work carried out in the High Pasture Cave on the mysterious Iron Age site in Skye. There's other articles dealing with the recording and potential use of the ever-present graffiti. There's also ones looking at how we have to bridge the gap between media and heritage experts, and a fascinating report from a student's perspective on fieldwork projects in northern Israel. There's features on current news, provocative viewpoints, and suggestions for fieldwork projects around the world that you can get involved in. There's also searching profile interviews with top archaeologists, crosswords, and so much more. There's even a bit about the amazing archaeological Dig Cook, who provides you with a recipe even. The first issue is available online, and that's how it's being kept, and it will expand to meet your needs, your requests, and your requirements. So you can even sign up for updates to find out when every new issue is published, which its intention is to be every 2 months. So what are you waiting for? As soon as you finish listening to the news, get yourself along to www.pasthorizons, that's all one word, pasthorizons.com/magazine. In Greek mythology, Thanatos was a personification of death and mortality. In Latin, it was Thanatus. The Isle of Thanet is an area at the most easterly point of Kent in England, and the dramatic recent discovery of a Bronze Age skeleton has resurrected considerable historical interest in the district, and may just prove that a long-forgotten definition of its name is not merely based in myth and legend, for Thanet is literally the Isle of the Dead. Experts examining the remains of a 4,000-year-old skeleton discovered by the Canterbury Archaeological Trust near Monkton say the find is an example of just how densely populated the land once was, with burial mounds. The beautifully preserved remains were found during a routine archaeological dig on a development site near Monkton, on which a fresh fruit produce centre is said to be built. The man is thought to have lived between 2200 and 2400 BCE and was buried in a double ring ditch funerary mound, where one circular ditch lies within another. There was a small dagger at his shoulder and a very rare archer's wrist guard on his arm. Canterbury Archaeological Trust said the curled-up skeleton was an example of a beaker burial because of the pottery vessel that was placed at its feet. Education officer Marion Green said that the beautifully decorated pot could have been a type of beer mug. She said the tests on beakers from other sites suggested that Bronze Age man was brewing a type of beer from grain. Thanet was covered with small burial mounds, many of which were in clusters across the land. And although not unique in that respect, there is definitely a large number of them and they would have been very conspicuous. It had a very rich agricultural landscape and the mounds would have been visible probably right up into medieval times when farming practices reduced them to flat land. Canterbury Archaeological Trust is actually looking for volunteers to help excavate the ancient burial site in Thanet. Volunteers need to commit several Saturdays to the project. It would be ideally suited to anyone studying or considering studying archaeology, an amazing experience to get involved in. So contact CAT, Canterbury Archaeological Trust, on 01227 462 062. I'll give you that again. That's 01227 462 062. Or email them at Marion Green, that's all one word, Marion Green at canterburytrust.co.uk. And can I remind people of the many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as heritage calendar, library guidance section and more at Badger, www.bajr.org. Get yourself along to pasthorizons.com for the amazing number of volunteer opportunities across the world. I think we've got just about 400 now. And of course the magazine. And remember that more can always be found at the amazing Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you return to us again next week.